works. I don't know. So we'll try to see if this works, and if it does, is matov. I apologize that I wasn't able to send the makoros, which I usually like to do by scan, but we're having some technical problems with the scanner. Hopefully that'll be solved.
Well, this Gemara and Rambam are really, really...
The Rambam opens up Hilchas Shofar. He writes, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, V'shofar shetokin bein v'rosh Hashanah bein v'yovel hu keren hakvasim hakofuf. I'd like to call your attention to the fact that the Rambam requires a shofar kofuf, and it comes from an ayal, so it's what we call in English a ram's horn, and it's got to be bent. It can't be a straight shofar. And the Ravid in his Hasagos writes, Omar Avram, Hifriz al midosov, meaning the Rambam has gone too far over here. He's exaggerating. El mitzvah bekfufim, true that it would enhance the mitzvah of shofar if you blew with a shofar kofuf on Rosh Hashanah, but that's only the mitzvah. That's an embellishment to the mitzvah, but it's not absolutely indispensable. The imtaka b'shal yael, yata. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the shofar of a yael, which is a kind of a wild animal in the desert, an ibex, it's a flat, straight shofar, yata. So there seems to be a machlokas, the Ram and the Ravid, whether or not you could be yotze with a straight shofar. The Ram requires kofuf, whereas the Ravid says that's nice, l'chatchila, but it's not absolutely required. What is the source for this machlokas? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chavav Amid Beis, says the following. There's machlokas tanoim, which kind of a shofar is preferable. According to some, it is a poshut, a straight shofar. According to others, it's a kofuf. And the Gemara says, B'maiko miflegi, what are they arguing about? What's the fundamental point about which they debate? And the Gemara answers, according to one man, the Omar, Mar Sovar, you'll see it on Daf Chav Hey, Chav Vavam and Beis, towards the bottom of the Daf. But my Kavifbi, Mar Sovar, Barosh Hashanah Kamadu Kayif Inish Daite Tfei Mali. Umar Sovar, Barosh Hashanah Kamadu Poshit Inish Daite Tfei Mali. In other words, the shofar is meant to convey a message to our mental, emotional state when we hear the blowing of the shofar. We want to be kayif inshi. We want to be in a state, according to this man, the Omar, of kayif inshi, which means a person should be bent over. He should be humble. Rashi embellishes on this. What is min kama de kayif inshi daitit tfei? That's preferable. Says Rashi, Kayef inshi bitfilasa. Interesting. Rashi has another word here. He says that this is a reference to the posture and the mental attitude that's preferable or appropriate for tefillah. Interesting how Rashi is making an equation here between shofar and tefillah. We'll come back to that point in just a minute. And Rashi says, with regard to tefillah, panav kvushim laaretz tfei. A person's posture should be looking downwards. Tfei adif, this is preferable. Mishumani quotes a pasuk Tanakh, Bahayu Ene Belibi Sham, that my eyes are there. So what does this have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Okay, that's halacha in tefillah. So we know that in tefillah, a person should be bowed a little bit. That's appropriate, but what about shofar? So Rashi says, Hilkach b'Rosh Hashanah d'letfilah. I'm going to skip a few words, we'll come back to them. D'letfilah ba, it's coming as a tfilah, b'inon we require kfufin. So Rashi says that there's some relationship between tfilah and shofar, shofar and tfilah. And the nafkamina is going to be the posture that's appropriate which really reflects on the person's mental state and his attitude when he hears the shofar. And Rashi says that we're going to borrow the state of the body and the mind of shofar from that state of mind and body of tefillah. In tefillah, we know it's kayif inchi. A person should be pun of vushos lakarka, and therefore, by analogy, shofar should be the same. And this should reflect itself in the shape of the shofar. The shape of the shofar is going to be a bent shofar, reflecting the appropriate attitude towards tefillah. Then Rashi has another point here. Ulahazgir akedas yitzchak ba. There's another dimension to shofar, and that is the remembrance of akedas yitzchak. And we know that at the culmination of the akedah episode, they found a ram's horn, and the horns were connected to a svach bakarnov. And that's supposed to be when we blow the shofar to remember Akedas Yitzchak. Rashi goes on, he says, according to the other man Yomer who requires a straight shofar, Kama de Poshit Tfei, that man's posture should be straight, not bent over. Odif, Tfei Odif, that's preferable. Why? Mishum Lisa Levavenu El Kapayim. That's also a pasuk that reflects on Tfilah. A person's heart should be sort of straight, El Kapayim. Hilkaf Rosh Hashanah Bipshutim Dilat Tfilahu. So Rashi reiterates the concept of Tfilah. Whether you require a bent shofar or a straight shofar, it all depends upon what would be proper and appropriate for Tfilah. Everyone's working with the premise that we have an equation analogy between shofar and Tfilah. Question is, going back to Tfilah, what would be appropriate for Tfilah? With the kayif inchi or poshit inchi. Now, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yevamos on Daf Kuf Hei Med Beis that there's a machlokes whether the mispalel, one who prays, should have a posture of yitain einov lemaka. He should put his eyes downwards. And that man d'yomer quotes the pasuk v'hayu einai v'libi shav, or according to the other man d'yomer, a mispalel should have his eyes lamala, looking upwards, and he invokes the pasuk nisal of aveinu al kapayim. So we already have this machlokas with regards to tefillah. Rashi is doing nothing more than transferring this machlokas over to the shofar. And the klal here that underlies the whole discussion is that shofar is tefillah. And the question is, what would be appropriate for tefillah? And therefore, by analogy, what would be appropriate for shofar? If in tefillah, it should be einav lamata, kfufim, then the shofar, like tefillah, should be kafuf. If on the other hand, it should be einav lamala in tefillah, Rashi says, therefore, in shofar, it should be straight, indicating the, so to speak, the vertical posture of a person when he davens. So Rambam paskins that we need kafuf, we need a bent over shofar. And the Rambam seems to assume that that's likuva, that that's an absolute requirement. And it must be that he is assuming that in tefillah, based on the Rashi we just studied, likewise you would need a bent position looking downwards during tefillah, out of a feeling of humility in front of Almighty God. The only thing that I'm bothered by is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chafes Amid Beis. The Gemara there speaks about Tokel Ashir. Very interesting case. You know, of all the instruments, the musical instruments that he needs, he chooses a shofar. That wouldn't have been my first choice. I could think of any other musical instruments. But in any event, the person is blowing a shofar. Lashir, he enjoys the musical element. You know, maybe he's blowing revelry. I don't know what he's blowing on a shofar. And the Gemara says, Yotzah. that he had fulfilled his mitzvah. And the Gemara says, Shema Amino, what do we derive from this? That mitzvahs ain't trichos kavana. That kavana, which is an intention, is not required with regard to mitzvahs. And the Gemara applies that universal rule of mitzvahs ain't trichos kavana to the case of shofar. And I'd like to raise the following question. If Rashi's analogy, or call it an equation between tefillah and shofar, is to be taken to its logical conclusion, we know that tefillah requires kavana. Maybe mitzvot in general don't require kavana, and we can pass the mitzvot ein trichos kavana as a universal rule, but with regard to tefillah, that's not so. Tefillah is unique. And the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Tefillah Perek Daled that tefillah below kavana ain't a tefillah. Tefillah requires kavana. Kavana is an integral part of tefillah. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitcher used to quote Reb Chaim that Reb Chaim held that if you daven without kavana, it's misasik. Misasik means when I don't have an intention for the maisa, it happens to happen, so to speak, without my focus, without my attention. A man has something sitting in his lap. He doesn't know about it. Stands up, and the stone or whatever object it is goes flying. That's called misase. Well, for example, I see what I think, what I perceive as cut grass or cut grains on the ground, and I pick it up on Shabbos thinking it's already cut, and lo and behold, it was attached. That's called misase. Misase means that the person is not connected at all to the Maisa Mitzvah. He doesn't have any awareness of the mitzvah. And Reb Chaim used to say that if a man davens and he mumbles the words and enunciates them, but he's not at all aware of what he's doing, he has no connection between the recitation and the tefillah itself, is Reb Chaim called a misasek. But bottom line, no matter how you slice the cake, the Rambam is clearly of the opinion that tefillah without kavana is not tefillah, and you do not discharge your duty. So getting back to shofar, if we accept Rashi's analogy, and we identify shofar as a mitzvah of tefillah, and the Rambam took it a step further, that the shofar as a heftishal mitzvah has to have that kiyum tefillah, it's got to be kofu, because kol kama, the kayif inshi, what's tokel ashir? A man blows for the sake of a musical melody. He has no intention to be yotzi the mitzvah. The mitzvah of shofar. That was my question. And perhaps we could answer the following. The Gemara goes on and says, on Daf Chav Chesam in Beis, after Rava says, Shema Mino Mitzvos, Tzricha, Enom Tzrichas Kavana, the Gemara says, Pshita. Maika Mashmalon. I mean, he just finished telling me that Kafu Lechol Matzah, if Avu Dishmuel says that if they forced him to eat matzah, under duress, on Leil HaPesach, Yotza. He has fulfilled his mitzvah of matzah. So Rav has to come along and say, Shema Amina, Tokel Shir Yotza. I mean, obviously, if Mitzvah Zayin and Tzrichas Kavana, what's the difference between a person who eats matzah and he's compelled to eat matzah, and a person who blows the shofar Rosh Hashanah because he likes the musical melody? In both cases, you don't have Kavana. The Gemara says, name. In the case of matzah, the Torah says, for Erev Tokhu matzahs, kum echol matzah, kama rachmona. The Torah commanded me to eat matzah. I ate matzah. Even though I didn't do the right kavana, I did it to save my life, but at the end of the day, I ate the matzah. So I fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. But here, with regard to the mitzvah of shofar, the Torah says two things. The Torah says, Yom Tru Yelachem, And the Torah says, Zichron Shuri Yelochem. There are two elements to shofar. Two psukim, two commands, and two mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of Yom Shrua, which means blow the shofar and hear its sound. And that for sure I fulfilled, even if I was tokei l'shir. And then we have another mitzvah, Zichron Shrua. Zichron Shrua means an awareness of the shofar. Zichron Shrua requires my intellectual connection to the Maisa Mitzvah. It's not just a cut and dry Maisa Mitzvah, mechanical, robotical. So Mao de Tamei might think that even though Mitzvah Tzrichos Einam Tzrichos Kavan is a general rule, Echol Matzah Komar Achman V'Kachil, but with regard to Shofar, where the Torah requires Zichron Shrua, Sahai Misasek Bialmu, with regard to Zichron Shrua, if he's blowing it for musical purposes, he's a Misasek. He doesn't have any connection to the Zichron Shrua dimension. Kamash Malon. And Rashi points out, if you turn to Chav Ches Amid Beis, Rashi points out that Kamash Malon, since it says Yom Shrua, he heard the shofar. Even if he heard it for other purposes, nevertheless, he's Yotzi the Mitzvah. But Rashi seems to imply that there still is another dimension to the mitzvah of shofar, and that's the Zichron Shrua element. That dimension requires kavana. So Eina Chinami, if you ask me, Tokei L'Shir, was he Yotze the mitzvah of shofar, or was he not? The answer becomes very complex, because shofar is a dual mitzvah. It's, if you could call it, a hybrid. It has a Yom Shrua, and it has a Zichron Shrua, two elements. As far as Yom Shrua is concerned, he fulfilled his mitzvah of shofar, despite the fact that he didn't have kavani with Tokei L'Shir. But as far as Zichron Shrua is concerned, Rashi seems to imply that the Gemara's Havin is true. He's a Misasek as far as Zichron Shrua is concerned. So he forfeits that element of the mitzvah, which is Zichron Shrua. Now let's come full swing back to the Rambam. The Rambam says it's an absolute requirement that the shofar be kafuf. And the Gemara says, why? Because kafuf is a reflection of the proper attitude and posture for tefillah. With tefillah, it should be eino v'libo sham, which means he should look down, he should be bent over out of a state of humility. That's the proper posture for tefillah. So I would say the following. I can accept that there is one element of tefillah with regard to shofar. The Torah does say zichron shrua. But why would the shofar kafuf be an absolute indispensable requirement? The Torah also says yom shrua. From the perspective of yom shrua, I fulfill the mitzvah of yom shrua by hearing the shofar as a technical, mechanical act. It's a ma'isa mitzvah, like any ma'isa mitzvah, like achilas matzah. Why then does the chefta shel mitzvah, meaning the shofar itself, have to reflect the kiyum of zichron shrua, meaning the element of tefillah that I fulfill within the context of shofar? So to answer this question, sometimes a good Jew answers one question with another question. We're going to ask another question. What's the shear of a lulav? We're skipping now, fast-forwarding from Rosh Hashanah all the way to Sukkot. It's not such a long gap. How tall does my lulav have to be? What's the minimal height? So the Gemara establishes that you need four tfachim. The first three tfachim, the Gemara says, is because a lulav has to be three tfachim. And the fourth tefach is kidei l'naneabo, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of nanuim. Now I ask you the following question. I have a lulav of three tefachim. It's not good enough for the mitzvah of nanuim. Am I yotzei the mitzvah of lulav? No, the Gemara says the shear of lulav is four tefachim. But I don't get it. Let's say I have a lulav of four tefachim, and it's royal in nanuim. But I don't do the nanuim. Did I fulfill the mitzvah of lulav? Absolutely. How do I know this? Because the Gemara says, that once I lift up the lulav, I'm yotze. Nanuim is a very nice kium, a of Atzei Ayah Yiranenu Kah, it embellishes the mitzvah. Why does the lulav have to have that fourth tefach in order to facilitate nanuim when I could be yotzei the mitzvah without nanuim? And that's very parallel, very similar to the question we're asking about the shofar, that the Rambam passes has got to be kafuf, because with regard to tefillah, the element of tefillah, I need kafuf. So what? But there's also a mitzvah of Yom Teruah Yelachem. And that mitzvah I could obtain even without the kiyum tefillah. Yisrael Bosa, I think we're seeing a pattern of it. And I would like to use this as part of my series. I have a series called Tools for Brit. And in that series, I try to show that there are certain categories that the Brisk Olam Dunim used to use to make learning into a science, so to speak. And one of those various categories is what we call Kiyum HaGavra, or Maisa HaGavra, versus the Cheft itself. For example, in mitzvahs, we have two elements. We have the Maisa HaGavra, that's what I have to implement, and we have the Cheft Shel Mitzvah. There are two dinim over here in what we're studying. On the one hand, we have the Kiyum Maisa Gavra. And the Maisa Gavra, in the case of Shofar, is Tefillah. On the other hand, we have the Chefta Shel Mitzvah. And that's the Shofar itself. So by parallel, we have in Lulav, we have the Gavra doing Nanuim. That enhances the Kiyum HaGavra. But as far as the Chefta is concerned, we have the Chefta Shel Lulav with its Shir. And the question I want to raise with you today is, and I can't say whether it's day or night because it all depends which David you are, but is the din of shofar as far as the Chefza Shel Mitzvah identical with the din of shofar as far as the Gavra is concerned, the Maisa Gavra? And the same question identically I could ask with regard to Lulav, the fourth tefach of Lulav. Is that a din in the Maisa Gavra? We call it Nanuim. Or is it a din in the Chefza Shel Mitzvah? And here, I think it's not identical. Here we could say there are two different halachas. There's one halacha that reflects on the Maisa Gavra, and there's another halacha that reflects on the Chefza Shel Mitzvah. As far as the Maisa Gavra is concerned, the way I implement my mitzvah of shofar or lulav, there are certain elements that are not required, they're not what you would call indispensable ikuva, but they enhance the Maisa Gavra, they enhance the Kiyum HaMitzvah. For example, in the case of Lulav, we have Nanuim. Nanuim will enhance my Kiyum HaMitzvah, but it's not absolutely required. I could be Yotzei Min Ad Bei Nafik Bei without Nanuim, albeit a secondary Kiyum, but I obtain a Kiyum. In Shofar also, Tokel Ashir, he blows for musical purposes. Okay, he has the mitzvah of Yom Teruah. So as far as the Gavra is concerned, he has fulfilled that mitzvah of Yom Teruah, but he forfeits an additional Kiyum HaGavra, which would enhance his mitzvah of Tefillah. But here there's an afkamin as far as the Chefza Shel Mitzvah. The Chefza Shel Mitzvah has to reflect not just the Kiyum HaGavra, but the full-fledged, full-blown mitzvah. The mitzvah b'shleimut in its perfect shape, in its perfect form. If I forfeit the mitzvah, the element of tefillah, I have obtained the kiyum of Yom Teruah Yelachem, but I forfeit the zichron teruah that would bring the mitzvah to a state of perfection of shleimut. The chefza shel mitzvah, says the Rambam, has to reflect the mitzvah b'shleimut. We're not going to allow you to use a secondary Chefza Shel Mitzvah. The Chefza Shel Mitzvah has to have the potential to achieve the ganze mitzvah, the entire mitzvah in its perfect form. And if we apply that to the case of lulav, the lulav as a Chefza Shel Mitzvah must have, and this is indispensable, the ability to facilitate the entire mitzvah in its complete perfect form. As far as the Gavra is concerned, he can have an incomplete mitzvah. Whether it's in the case of shofar, tokel, shir. Whether it's in the case of lula without nanu, mirag, be nothing. But as far as the cheftishal mitzvah is concerned, the cheftishal mitzvah has to have the maximum potential. Nothing less will do. Without the fourth tefach that makes it royal in anuim, it's not a lulav. And forget it, you're not yotze. Without kafuf, says the Rambam, which enhances the mitzvah of shofar as far as tefillah is concerned, you're not yotze. You can't even obtain the basic ground, you know, ground zero kium of the gavra. Even that's impossible because you don't have a cheftishal shel mitzvah. And Rabbosai, if this be the case, I think I can answer another question. The Gemara says, with regard to matzah, that bala matzah yotza. It's in the last parak of Pesachim. If, let's say, I swallow the matzah in such a way that I don't taste it, I'm yotza. However, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you take a piece of matzah in terms of matzah, if you take a piece of matzah and you cook it in hot water, boiling hot water, you boil it, that's called matzah mevusheles, is lo yotza. You're not yotza. Why? Because the matzah doesn't lend itself to tasting the taste of matzah. It's batel taimo shel matzah. Now, I ask you the following question. Do I have to taste matzah? We just finished saying that bala matzah, yotza, means that te'ima, tasting the matzah, is not likuma. And yet, oddly enough, matzah mevusheles is lo yotzi dechavosa. The answer is, as far as the kima gavra is concerned, I don't need to taste the matzah. It would be very nice. It would enhance the mitzvah. Zekeli v'yamveu. But nevertheless, the cheftishal matzah has to lend itself to the full-fledged kiyum, the perfect kiyum, namely to ima and to. If this be the case, Rabbi Osai, I think we can come back to the Rambam of shofar. The shofar has to be kafuf because otherwise it doesn't lend itself to the full-fledged kiyum. And perhaps we can explain a Gemara in Shabbos in Bamei Madlika with regard to Ner Chanukah. The Gemara says the Ner Chanukah has to have enough oil in it to last for a half hour. What's that half hour? That half hour is the time between Shkia Sacham and Achetichla Regel Menashuk. It's the minimum time for Pursumei Nisa. But yet, oddly enough, we paskin Kavsa Ein Zokkukla. Meaning I light the Ner Chanukah, and within seconds, a strange wind comes along, a Ruach Sheina Mitzuya, and blows out my Ner Chanukah. And the law is that I was Yotzei. So all I need is 1 minute of Pirsum HaNes. So why do I have to have enough oil in the Ner Chanukah to last for a full half hour? Again, the same thing. Because the Cheftishal Mitzvah has to lend itself to the full-fledged mitzvah, which is a half hour. Even though as far as the Kiyum HaGavra is concerned, Kavsa lo ein zakakla, and I can be Yotzei with a minute of hot look. Why is it that shofar is like tefillah? Rashi, as we saw at the outset, explaining this halach of kafuf, according to that, the Ram Paskins is likuma. Why? Where's the connection between shofar and tefillah? The Chassidim are wont to say that shofar is tefillah b'li milim. It's prayer without words. And in fact, they give the mashal of the shepherd boy. You remember that? He comes with his flute, and he says to Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't know how to pray. I was never taught. Please take the sounds of the flute, and you formulate for me, God, all the prayers that I have to pray. Basically, we're all like that shepherd boy on Rosh Hashanah. We don't know how to formulate our prayers. It's too complicated for us. There are prayers, Tarche Amcha Merubin, that we ourselves can't formulate. And therefore, the shofar itself is a tefillah. The Gemara tells us, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that shofar is lezichron koi ukilif naivalif nimdomi. The halacha of ein kateger natsa saneger applies to a shofar, and therefore a shofar shemitzup is zav, if it's gold plated, is potter. You would think that gold plating shofar should be the newest thing, should be in vogue. I mean, it beautifies the shofar. Is that kelim yaveim? No, because ein kateger natsa saneger. The Gemara says, but ein kateger natsa saneger only applies in the Beis HaMikdash. For example, to Big Day Kohanim and to the Machta and the Kaf and other things, why should it apply to Shofar? The Gemara says that Shofar is Kilif Naivel if Nimdamid. It's as if we're standing in the Beit HaMikdash, in the inner chambers. And why? Because Shofar is Tefillin. And that's why the Chasima of the Bruch of Shofar in Shofar is Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Kol Tkiyosenu. It's almost identical to Shomea Tefillah. We ask Hashem to listen and hearken to our prayers as they come through the shofar. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to say that shofar blowing is like the case of an animal. An animal, even though it can't speak, it doesn't have that level of intelligence, but if it's in a state of crisis, it lets out a cry, a yelp. That's what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah with the shofar. Okay. Are there any questions so far on what we've been saying? Because I want to move on to a slightly different topic. The Rambam in Hilchos Chovel Mazik is very interesting. And I'd like to talk about Rosh Hashanah as a day of din. We have to come into din, and we must do tshuva before the din. Tshuva is made up of four different parts, but tshuva with regard to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro has a special status. And this is based on a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Yuma on Tehei Amid Beis. Averos shebein Adam L'Chaveiro ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper ad sheyiratzes Chaveiro. We need reason. And the Gemara, the Mishnah quotes Rav Loza ben Azariah's drasha: Mikol chatosechem lifnei Hashem titaro. Those sins that are between you and God, you can get tara. But with regard to Meinon lachavero, ein yom kippur mechaper ad shiirata es chaver. And the Rambam codifies this at the end of the second chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. But I want to call your attention to a different Rambam. This is the Rambam in Perek Hay. Mehilchas Chovel Umazik Halachates, and the Rambam says, "Eino dome Mazik Chavero Begufo leMazik Mamono. Shamazik Mamono is Kevan Sheshilem Mashu Chayev Lo Leshalim Niskaper Lo. Aval Chomal BeChavero Afal Pisha Notan Lo Chavisha Dvarim Eino Niskaper Lo." So I would have thought, before I saw this Rambam, that there's a universal rule that applies to all Bein Adam L'Chavero, which requires Bakoshas Kapara, Bakoshas Mechila. And I wouldn't have thought of taking Bein Adam L'Chavero and subdividing it into different tributaries, different categories. But the Rambam is doing just that for us. And he's telling us that in the Avera of Bein Adam L'Chavero, of let's say being Mazik Momono Shel Chavero, if I destroy your property, that's one category. But it's not the same as Chovel B'Chavero. And even though in both cases he paid, he compensated him for all financial losses, in the case of Chavol, he paid him for the five categories of Nezek, Tzar, Ripu, Shev, Sposhes, that's not enough. The Rambam says he will not achieve Kapara until Yevakesh min nichbal umochelo. But with regard to Mazik Mamon Chavero, the Rambam apparently holds that even though it's Bein Adam L'Chavero, nevertheless, I don't need to be Yevakesh Rachamim. All I have to do is pay him up, compensate him. So the Lecha Mishnah asks the Gevaldik Akash over there in Chovel Umazik. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, paskins as far as a gazlan is concerned, if I steal something from you, eino nimcha lo li'olam, ashi yiten l'chaver mashu chayev lo v'yiratzehu. The Rambam requires ritzui. The afal pisha hitzel lo maman shu chayev lo, tzarech l'ratzoso, v'lishol mimenu shiyimcha lo. I don't get it, says the Lecha Mishnah. Here, in gazlan, he's in the same situation, it's the same identical avera as mazik maman shel chavero. Why does the Rambam say in this case that he doesn't have kapara, even if he returned the money that he owes him, unless he asks him for mechila? And the Lecha Mishnah gives an answer, which if you get a chance, you'll look it up. I found it very, very difficult. So let's just summarize what we're saying. The Rambam paskins, based on a Mishnah at the end of Yuma, that with regard to mitzvos, bein ol mechavera, veres bein ol mechavero, eino nimchalo achirata es chavero. Interesting is we saw the Mishnah, which is the source for the Rambam. The Mishnah derives it from a pasuk, mikol chatoseichem asher lifnei Hashem titaro. Strangely enough, the Mishnah in Masechta Bava Kama, Tzadi Beis, in the case of someone who is chovel bechavero, and even though he paid the Dmei Chavol, the Mishnah says, Eino nimchol ashivakish mimenu, shenemar, and the Mishnah quotes a different pasuk, the ata hashev eishes haish. Why do we have two psukim over here? And the answer, I believe, is that Yom Kippur is a special halacha. Even though the whole year round it's enough to be mevakish mechila, but with regard to Yom Kippur, the language of the Mishnah is achirates chavero. And we require ritzui. I'll read to you the Rambam's language. The Rambam says, okay, I don't find the Rambam's language. Sorry, in front of me now. I have to get up, and we're running short on time. So anyway, the Rambam requires ritzui. Ritzui means that you have to reestablish the relationship as it was before. It's not just some sort of perfunctory bakoshes mechila, you get mechila. In any event, getting back to this Rambam about Gzela and about Chovil b'chavera, where the Rambam says that bakoshes mechila is a tnai mukdam, it's a prerequisite for mechila, whereas mazik mamon shel chavero, you don't need bakoshes mechila, just pay him up. What we're going to have to say is that there's something called a pgiah in a person. Pgiah means that I've caused you psychological harm. I've inflicted on you psychological pain and anguish. In such a case, clearly you need bakashas mechila. But the question is, under what circumstances does a mazik, in the laws of nezikin, pay up? And he sort of undoes what he did. He undoes what he did. So Rambam holds like that. In all cases, if I destroy your property, and how much more so if I destroy you, assault and battery physically, I've caused you stress and anguish. But the Rambam says that in certain cases it's direct, and in certain cases it's indirect. If I cause you physical pain, that's the case of Chovel b'chavero, there the suffering and the anguish, the tsar is direct. In that case, the maisa requires bakoshes mechila, that maisa avera. So too, in the case that we started with, in the case of gzela that we referred to, what's gzela? The Rambam defines what gzela is in Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, as gzela. And he contrasts gzela with gneva. Gzela, he says, is lokeach adam chavero v'chazka. That he takes away something, steals it with physical force. Kigon shechotaf miyado mitaltalim, or nifnas l'shuso shalabaylim v'natal misham kelim. The Rambam seems to require some act in which I grab something from you. That's gvela. Geneva means I clandestinely climb into your home and I take your valuables. So what I would suggest is the following. When the Rambam discusses Gazlon, and in Hilchos Tshuva Sof Perek Beis, he requires that the Gazlon must ask Mechila, the Rambam sees in Gzela a direct act of causing someone sorrow and anguish, because he does it brazenly and boldly. Masha Enkin, in the case of Mazik, Mamon Shal Chavero, although there too, indirectly you cause some sort of anguish and sar, but since it's not immediate, it's not direct, the Rambam says you don't require Bakashas Mechila. That all you have to do is pay for it. That's the Kiddush of the Rambam. Whatever few minutes we have left, I would like to dedicate them to a discussion about the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis. And the Gemara establishes that we don't recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. Why is there no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? Because Amru Malachi Ashoreitz Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. Why is there no Shira on Rosh Hashanah? Why is there no Hallel or Shira on Rosh Hashanah? Yom Kippur Melem Melech Yosef Al Kisei Din V'Sifrei Chayim V'Sifrei Meisim Psukim L'Fan of Yisrael Amru Shira.
Okay.
So I'd like to ask the following question. What does the phrase Sifrei Meisim mean? It says Sifrei Meisim Psukim L'Fanecha. Two ways to go over here. It could be that Sifrei Meisim means every individual is being judged on the day of judgment. Which book will he be written in? Sifrei Chaim or Sifrei Meisim, Chas V'Shalom. It could be that Sifrei Meisim are referring to those who died in the past, and their books are examined on Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, Rav Chaim Volozhin in his drasha for Rosh Hashanah says that the Gemara of Sifrei Meisim Sukhul Lefanav is referring to Elu Shekfar Meisim. Even though, again, it doesn't parallel Sifrei Chaim. Sifrei Chaim is referring to those who are right now being judged. Will they be written in the Book of Life? But Sifrei Meisim, he says, is Elu Shekfar Meisim. So the question is obvious. If they're already dead, so why are they being judged? I mean, when they died, there was a judgment. But now, every year in Rosh Hashanah, they're being judged again? So the answer that's given by Rav Chaim Volozhin is that in the case of someone who did an Avera during his lifetime, that Avera has repercussions way down the line, maybe years or decades or hundreds of years after he dies. So it's possible that the cheshbin, the calculation of his chuyot and his chavot, will change even after he dies, because his action is having a ripple effect which has to be re-examined. So for example, let's say a man influences someone else to go off to derech, and now, years down the line, you know, that person does other terrible things, other chatoim, especially if that man had an impact on a child. But I would like to suggest perhaps another approach. The nusach of vidui is anachnu vavoseinu chatonu. Why am I reciting vidui on behalf of my father or my forefathers? Or let me ask you a different question. There's something called Yizkar. And the real original Yizkar historically was only on Yom Kippur. And I'm remembering those who departed, and I'm getting stuck on their behalf. So all this leads me to the following conclusion, which is not my original Kiddush. Yesh Kapar L'Mason. There is Kapar on behalf of the dead. And when we indicate HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much we've been uplifted, and continue to be inspired by those who trained us, who guided us, and are no longer here, that's a tremendous merit for them. and they can achieve a kapara of Yom HaKippurim even after their death. If that be the case, then Sifrei Mesim could be taken as Reb Chaim Volozhin understood it. We're talking about Mesim, and we're going to reevaluate their situation because it's quite possible that the Cheshbon is totally different. There were those, probably descendants of theirs, who recited vidui on their behalf, who did vidui, I'm sorry, not only vidui, but recited yizkar on their behalf, gave tztaka as an ilui neshama, and that itself could change the entire picture, and they get a reevaluation. So there is kapara for Mason. And that's why Yom HaKippurim is a day of a double kapara, plural kapara, kapara for the Chayim and kapara for the Mason. So Sifrei Chayim and Sifrei Mason, Psukim Lefanecha, is certainly something that can be taken the way Reb Chaim Volozhin understands it, and the Sifrei Mason, those Mason are being reevaluated on these days. Okay, I'm just trying to see if there are any questions over chat, or if anybody wants to ask any questions now. Oh, I see something on chat. David is asking, what does the Rambam, why does the Rambam require Ritzui for Gneva? So that's what we said. The Rambam requires Ritzui only for Gzela, but not for Gneva. Because the Rambam says the difference between Gzela and Gneva is that Gneva means I sneak in stealthily into your house and I steal something. You're not even aware of it. Of course, when you find out about it, you're mitztayer, but that's an indirect kind of tzar. On the other hand, zela means I grab something from you. Vayitol asachanis biyad amitzvi, I take it biyad liyad. That zela is a direct cause of tzar and requires bakoshas mechila and ritzu. How do we know, and with this we'll conclude, that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin? The Torah doesn't say it. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah on the Ches seems to derive it from the pasuk Bereishis Hashanah V'yad Acharis Hashanah. That God's scrutinizes the actions of man at the beginning of the year. That means Rosh Hashanah. But it's very interesting that Tzar Tzvima expands upon this, and he says that there's also a remez in the pasuk in Tilim Pei Aleph. And in that capital of Tilim, David HaMelech refers to Rosh Hashanah. He says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu, right, because the moon is still invisible, as opposed to the other chagim. And then it says, Ki chok l'Yisraelu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. That the God of Jacob is involved in mishpat. And when? On that day, in the beginning of the pasuk, of Tiku b'chodesh shofar. We once discussed the possibility that this idea of Mireishis Hashanah, meaning Rosh Hashanah is Reishis, means, the word Reishis means something in philosophy which we call teleological, meaning where I see the ultimate goal and the purpose of that beginning. The beginning contains within it and inheres within it the end, the ultimate goal. So that on this day, which is the day of creation, Rosh Hashanah, that's how it is in our tefillah, Rosh Hashanah is going to be a day of Reishis, because God created the world on Reishis. Every man has to give an account on Rosh Hashanah to where he's holding. What's inherent in his Reishis? It means that Rosh Hashanah is a great, awesome day for us. It's an incredible opportunity for us to start the year in a way in which the entire year coming up, all its blessings and all its potential, everything in here is in the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Reishis. We have to really try to expand and exploit the Reishis potential of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I'll stop for questions now. Is there anybody want to turn on their recorder and ask any questions or send me a chat? So please let me know. Oh, so David is asking, David's quoting the Divrei Yoel, and he says that Mireishis Hashanah and Akris Hashanah is giving us Musar. There's no hay by Akris Hashanah, and the Musar is that Reishis, at the beginning of the year, a person should think that it'll become a tzaddik. So that by the end of the year, it's not just another year like any other year, but it should be a special year. If it's a year like any other year, then we drop the hay at the end of the year, and then we haven't succeeded. So we have to be very, very somber and dedicated and sincere. Shkoyach to that Dvar Torah that it's got to be a special ratio so that the Akris of the year would also be special, and it'll be reflective of that ratio. And in order to do that, we have to have a very powerful Rosh Hashanah experience. So let's just summarize the three things that we discussed today in the Shia. Number one, we discussed the Rambam Shita that Kafuf in Shofar's requirement. Rashi says that Kafuf is the proper posture for Tefillah. And we discussed the linkage between Tefillah and Shofar, especially with regard to the Chepetz Shel Mitzvah, the two Kiyumim in Shofar, Yom Truah and Zikron Truah. Then we discussed the Rambam and Hilchos Chovel Umazik, in which, with regard to Hachiyaratas Kavero and Beinonim L'Kavero, the Rambam separates two categories of mitzvos Beinonim L'Kavero. We try to embellish this and say that sometimes the Beinonim L'Kavero is a direct cause of anguish to a person, and that requires Ritui. Sometimes it's only when the person finds out about the loss or the damage to his possessions. There it's indirect, you don't require Ritzui. And finally, we discussed the question of why is it that Sifrei Mesim Psuchim Lefanecha, what is the significance, according to Reb Chaim Volozhin, of those who already died? They were judged, obviously, on the day of death. What's the purpose and goal of judging them again? And we suggested because there is Kapara Lemesim. And then we discussed the fact that Rosh Hashanah is a dual day. It has both within it Yom Haratz Olam, as we say in that tefillah. It's a day of creation. It commemorates the anniversary of the creation of the world. And at the same time, it's a day of Reishis, in which we have the potential, Choku Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov, to take this day and make it into a great day for us, for our families, and for all of Klal Yisrael. Keni Yehi Ratzon. Just trying to see if there are any other questions here.